trauma is something that pushes people to the edge. People don't love who they are because of the experiences they've gone through. I chose to be that person of refuge, just a shoulder to cry on. We are training them to heal, but also be able to pass on to that healing to the friend or the neighbor. We've seen what we've taught at NEMA impact the other community indirectly through our girls.
Welcome to The Human Experience. I'm Jennifer Peterkin, and this is Episode 6, Jackie's Story. Last summer, I had the privilege of traveling to Kenya for the first time. The majority of my time there was spent in a rural western town called Kitale with an organization called NEMA. NEMA is a skills training school for vulnerable young women. Many of these women have experienced prostitution, trafficking, indentured servitude, domestic violence, and more. There's a passion amongst the leaders of NEMA, though, for these young girls, for their healing and wholeness. That's why, in addition to the schooling they receive, they are also provided with trauma counseling and discipleship. Jackie is one of the counselors at NEMA. In fact, she originally brought trauma counseling to NEMA through her work with a now-defunct organization called Zion Project. Jackie is from Uganda, and so she does much of her job via Zoom and phone calls. It was really special that our time in Kenya happened to coincide, and she was gracious enough to sit down with me for an interview the night before she left to go home. Being a counselor is not an easy job. Being a trauma counselor, even less so. Being a trauma counselor for young women who have experienced some of humanity's ugliest atrocities is something else entirely. But Jackie's passion is strong, and her compassion is a force to be reckoned with. Be sure to check out the show notes so you can find out more about NEMA and how you can support them. Tell me about your life. I mean, you grew up in Uganda?
Yes, I grew up in Uganda, in western part of Uganda. I am from a family of seven. I am the first girl of the home, the first daughter. My father is a soldier, or was a soldier by profession. It wasn't easy, him not being around. And we didn't go to very good schools because of his level of income. But certainly, I managed to go through school. Yeah, became successful, finished university. I studied my degree in ministry with youth and children, and did counseling. And thereafter, I got a job with a project called Zion by then that closed, and then married.
And babies.
Married and got babies, and life continued. I did cross marriage. My husband comes from the northern part of Uganda, and I come from the west. So it's a cross marriage because we don't speak the same tribe.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why we say cross, because we have different cultures and tribes. And because of this, we use native as English in our home because we don't speak the same language. And therefore, like, our children don't know any other language apart from English.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because that is what we speak, I and my husband. Yeah, and we've been married for 8 years.
Wow. Congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's really interesting. You said a cross marriage?
Yeah.
That's what you call it? Mm-hmm. Is that common?
It's common.
Yeah.
In Uganda, where people don't marry from the same tribe.
Okay.
But they cross over. That's why we call it a cross marriage, because you cross over from your culture to the other culture.
Sure.
And the culture is that if I cross over, I belong to the culture where I've married.
Mm-hmm.
So I leave my maternal or culture, and because I have decided to cross, I adjust and go by my husband's culture.
Okay, interesting. And so English is commonly spoken then in Uganda,
yes.
if it's the language that people from different tribes can speak to each other?
Yes. In Uganda, we have more than 80 languages.
Wow.
So English is our national language. That's why somebody like me who is crossing over to marry from another tribe, the language that unites all of us is English.
Okay.
Swahili is being introduced currently, but our common used language to bring us together is English.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I met you, Jackie, because of an organization called NEMA in Kenya, and you are a counselor there. And you do trauma-informed counseling, which is so important because so many people need trauma-informed counseling. And that's something that in the United States, we are still figuring out as well. But so what got you into counseling and specifically trauma counseling?
I have passion. My greatest joy is putting a smile on somebody's face. Mm. I love listening to people who don't have opportunity to be listened to. And because of how I grew up, I saw how children and youth are suffered innocently. Mm. Like they never had opportunity to be heard. And those who would be heard, they would be judged. So I chose to be that person of refuge. Just a shoulder to cry on. And trauma is something that pushes people to the edge. We've seen people commit suicide. People don't love who they are because of the experiences they've gone through. So I decided to train. I do theophostic counseling, whereby we let people, it's Jesus that does the healing. We focus people on Jesus. And because of what they go through, they believe lies of what people say about them because of the experiences, like they are not loved, they don't matter. So with theophostic counseling, which is trauma-centered, we let them listen from Jesus, the truth about them. Mm. Most of them are depressed. Most of them have anxiety. So Jesus speaks peace, joy. He reveals the true identity of who they are meant to be. So it's always my joy to lead people into this journey of discovering who they are, who they are meant to be, and letting them know that their past does not describe them, letting them know that anyone can fall, but they can rise and be better than who they think they are, or even what the world thinks they are, because it's Jesus who really knows the truth that we lead them to, and they always discover that in Christ. Because if Jackie told them you matter, you're valuable, they may think or compare me to somebody else who has disappointed them and not meant it. But when they hear that from Jesus, because as we do counseling, we let them focus and listen to what Jesus has to tell them. He whispers words of joy, peace. He reveals what he wants them to know. And at that point, I feel like there is restoration. They begin to really get to understand that it's not what the world thinks of them, neither is what they've gone through, but it's who they are in Christ from the beginning. Yeah. Thank you.
No, thank you. That's beautiful. I just really appreciate your attention to such a huge problem, and it's global, but trauma is underreported, but it's also very underrecognized, right? People don't understand how much trauma affects people and how much it changes your life and your brain and how you think about yourself, how you think about others. So I really appreciate just your passion for that. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
So you said when you started out, you started at a center called Zion.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
Zion was an organization that was rescuing women that were involved in prostitution, together with their children and the youth because of poverty. They would engage in this act. So we realize as a project, we can reach out to them with love, bring them at the center, take them through counseling, give them a skill so that they are not able to go back into prostitution. So at the center, they would come. We do like a 6-month training of counseling and then would call over their children because we realized when they take these men into their houses, after abusing the mothers, they go on to the children. So the abuse was extending back to the children and their youth. So we began a home for the girls because they were having teenage pregnancies. Others were being infected with HIV. So we began like a rescue home for them where I was the first counselor. I joined Zion Project just to do my internship. I was in my second year at university. But when I reached and did the counseling, they liked and they told me after graduation, you have a job.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So that must have been a confidence boost to know that you had that waiting for you.
So I went back for 1 year and when I was done, I came and started working. So I was the first counselor of the organization. I had to put things together, put the manual, try to organize. And the children, they were so bitter with life. The girls did not see a reason of living. They did what they did because they had no hope.
Yeah.
So the first thing to teach them was self-love because I got to know that if they accepted themselves and loved themselves, then they will not go ahead to hurt themselves or believe what people were telling them. And then I did also trauma counseling with them alongside their mothers.
Wow.
Yeah. So I started teaching parenting to the mothers because they were also bitter and then they didn't know what to do in the presence of their children. So I realized it was affecting their family, their children. They were bitter. There is physical abuse. They would verbally abuse them. That tortured the children. So I started parenting classes to prepare them how to deal with their children, to make them understand they are also going through things. They should be patient. And somehow life started to change. They appreciated the fact that others say they didn't know they were doing mistakes. They didn't know how to handle certain things. I had not married, but I was forced to start marriage counseling.
Oh, wow.
So because they were so free, they became so free with me that others started to come and share their marital problems with me. And I didn't take it lightly because once somebody approaches you, then they have confidence that you're able to help them. So I had to go and read, use my class knowledge, even when I was not married. And I am glad I got the confidence to approach. And we sit at home. I talk to the father, I talk to the mother, and I'm like, you need one another in this. If it can't work out, then we can make it in peace. There is no need of violence. Yeah.
So is this marriage counseling for the parents of your...
Of our children, the girls that were at the center.
So, I mean, that's such an incredible outreach. Yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my head around that because I've never heard of anything like that before. And I think that's so beautiful to get the whole family essentially involved in counseling. And that's where you see change. That's beautiful.
Yeah, because we realize that once we help the women at the center, but when they go back, there may not be peace if the men have been not involved. So we dealt with the women, we dealt with the children, and then I extended it back to family level at home. Maybe something even I didn't tell you, Zen Project, we used to have an outreach where I would go, where our women come from. And we used to preach to them about love, forgiveness, reconciliation. And some of them would come and reconcile. So they started to invite us to speak to them frequently. So it was like a community outreach. And then we expanded this. We started getting letters and we went out of our area of reach because people had learned about it and it was being helpful. Mm. And then also maybe something I didn't say, would also have training for child caregivers,
oh, wow,
social workers, and pastors. I would have like a dinner where we let them just, because we know there are also people, they need to be heard. People have judged them for, you know, they think they are perfect, but they are so human. Mm. So we used to do all these small outreaches. And that's how we happened to host NEMA.
Okay.
Yeah, through.
So this was the same organization?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so someone from NEMA, the organization that I met you through and that you now work for, contacted your organization for training. Yes. For their staff.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Thank you. So one of our blogs was read about transformation. So the boss of NEMA read it and liked it and followed the story where it was done from. And it was in Uganda. So they consulted our boss. And then she consulted me because I was acting back in Uganda as a manager. So she told me and we exchanged emails and we invited the staff, NEMA staff, to Uganda where we housed them at our guest house. So through this training, we were able to first talk to them about self-care. For you to be effective, you need to also take care of yourself, not be able to burn out, because when you're dealing with trauma and yourself, you're traumatized, you may pass on to something that is wrong because you also have pain. In counseling, we say hurting people hurt others.
Yeah.
So they needed to heal for them to be able to give or to outflow with something that is good for the girls. So we trained them on transformation. We trained them on Father Heart of God. Them knowing that we have a father who cares about them despite what they may be going through as tough people. And also to tell them that sometimes we always pray to God, but sometimes we need to listen to what God has to tell us about us. Mm. And that time we give them time to soak in the presence of God where he gets to reveal things about them. So, yeah, we had... I talked about things like heart of stone, how the life experiences make us hard, that we don't get to receive love because of what we've gone through. We harden as people as a defense mechanism. We spoke about things called inner vow, where people make vows out of painful experiences. They say, I will never be this, I'll never do this, but life turns around and they be exactly who they didn't want to be, because when you make such a vow in pain, you live that life that limits you from who God wants you to be. So we spoke about uncovering shame because the life experiences, they are things that people don't want to let people know about them, and they end up living a life just covered with lies, but in actual sense they are not who they are supposed to be. So in that given environment, the staffs to think about their lives where they have covered themselves with shame because of what they have gone through, areas where they have made vows out of pain. Then we talked about soul ties. Mm-hmm. And then we broke those soul ties that we had.
Can you explain what a soul tie is just for somebody that doesn't know?
This is where like you don't make a free decision. You decide according to somebody. For example, I will give like my mother. I get married, but I don't make my own decisions, but rather I consult everything. I consult my mother. So as a mother, she's supposed to let me try out certain things because I am in my house. Mm. So in a situation where you feel you cannot make an independent decision, healthy decision on your own, but you have to depend on either your father or your mother. It's ungodly soul tie. And then sexual soul ties, when you meet with somebody, you don't know where they come from. You don't know who they are. So there are things that we are not able to see that probably we may connect with, and they may somehow affect our lives. So we lead people to break those ties so that they are free to move on. Hmm. Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So Zion, you were still working for Zion when the NEMA staff came to train with you. And so now you work for NEMA.
Yes.
And so just actually, because we haven't addressed this yet, NEMA is a school for young girls in rural Kenya who are at risk. They're a vulnerable population of young women who are at risk of being abused. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so the school of NEMA exists to teach them a trade. They teach tailoring and sewing, which is a huge vocation in Kenya. But on top of that, they also offer counseling as a big part of what they do, counseling and discipleship. And so Jackie went from working with the NEMA staff to now she works with the NEMA students. So can you talk about that transition?
Okay. So when, like I said, when I trained the staffs, I think they were touched and they liked it, and they wanted me to extend it back to the students. So I was called over to start working with them. My role at NEMA, I train staffs on counseling skills, but I also do counseling directly with the girls on trauma counseling. So when they asked me, I started working with NEMA. So when I come, I always have like one staff training. And also I listen to staffs one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. I think because I come and go somehow, and then from the relationship we've been able to build, they trust that they feel safe sharing with me. So I also do staff training. Even when I'm back in Uganda, when even some of them are bothered, we do phone counseling with them, even the girls. Yeah.
You're just on call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I work here, but when I am not physically in Kenya, I do Zoom, but I also do phone counseling on a weekly basis. So I make sure I call almost all the girls on a weekly basis, but throughout the month. So if
you call all of the girls on a weekly basis?
Not all.
Oh, okay.
Like
there's quite a few of them.
No, like I make sure every week I speak to a number of girls. Mm. Then at least by the month I have spoken to everyone.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and it's so important that the staff also gets the support as well.
Yes.
So, you know, you're really the leader in that, and you have trained all of them. Mm-hmm. You're doing such incredible work. And how far do you actually live from where we are in Kenya?
Wow. It's really far. From here to where I live in Uganda, it's a 2 days journey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I start my journey like today. I go sleep over to the border at the border. And then from the border to where I live, it's a 12-hour drive.
Do you drive or do you take a bus?
No, I take a bus.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how often do you come to Kitale?
On a quarterly basis.
On a quarterly basis. Yeah. Okay. But you're still so involved over Zoom and phone calls. And we're in Kenya right now, and I just happen to be here when you're here. I could have missed you, and I didn't. I'm so glad. So, Jackie, how do you practice self-care. I mean, you are so involved in making sure that others are taken care of. How do you practice self-care?
Yeah. So like when I go home from Kenya, I take 1 week off because I have had a lot from the girls. It's always too much. It's a lot of pain that I don't need to take on myself because I will also be traumatized in the long run. Yeah. So I take off a break. But back in Uganda, I also have my counselor.
Ah, good for you. Yeah. And have you been with this counselor for a long time?
Yes, she's my mentor.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So when I feel like I need to talk to somebody, yeah, I go right back to that person and speak, because it's not that me being a counselor, I am a super person. I also have my weaknesses. I also get emotional breakdowns. Mm. So I need to accept, just like I tell people to accept when they have emotional breakdown, to speak to somebody. Yeah. And then because of what I hear, in the long run, if I don't take care of myself, it will affect me. So that's why I have a counselor who will also listen to me. Yeah. Because there are things I hear. And when I go to sleep, I keep thinking about certain things. How can I make this girl better? How do I put such sad things, really? And I really want to help out. I don't want the girl to remain in such. So it bothers me a little bit. So if I condense that and I leave it within me, it will affect me in the long run. Yeah.
No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Mm-hmm. We can very easily take on other people's trauma, yeah, and make our own out of it, mm-hmm, which isn't good for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But that's such a healthy position to be in. And a lot of people aren't emotionally in that healthy position. Yeah. So...
And then I do exercises, like sometimes after phone calls, and I go and work out, I move around, you, mm-hmm, know, to get that off me, and I come back fresh. Yeah.
Yeah. And spending time with your family, I'm sure, is, yeah, great too.
Yeah. And my children, they really stress out of me. We have fun. Yeah. We play. Yeah.
Yeah. How old are your boys?
One is 7. The last boy is 3.
Okay. Mm. Those are good ages.
Yeah.
I have nieces that are 4 and 6 right now, mm-hmm, and they're so much fun. So they definitely brighten up my day when I am able to see them or I'm having a tough, mm-hmm, day. So I'm sure, yeah, they help as well. Mm-hmm. Kids have a tendency to do that, I think. Yeah. So if you could give somebody, just any random person, one piece of advice about self-care or self-love, what would it be?
Oh, thank you. First of all, I know I would tell that person they are loved and accepted for who they are. Mm-hmm. They should know that they matter. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, what you've gone through, you matter. And you are somebody, because most people who are traumatized, they've lost self-love. They think they don't matter. They think they are a nobody, and therefore they are depressed. Mm-hmm. Once you put a seed of love and a reminder that you matter, despite what you go through, they will remember that I have a sense and I have to push on to keep going. You should tell yourself that you have done at least something. You may not impress everybody, but when you have tried, it is something. So what I would want to put, it is a seed of hope, love, and peace, something they would think about, and it gives them energy to push on for tomorrow. Yeah.
I love that. We could all use more hope, I think. So that's a good one. But it's interesting to have so much passion about something. Is this something that you grew up with?
Maybe from my siblings. I was not a troublesome child. Mm-hmm. Even when I am angry, it's hard to raise my voice to that really voice. So I grew up somebody of peace. I didn't want to inflict pain, mm-hmm, in somebody. So that's why I did not love seeing pain being inflicted in people. And if pain is inflicted in somebody, it will really like bother me. I want the best for somebody. So knowing that the youth and the children are voiceless, it gave me passion to be their voice, to be the ear that they don't have, to be a shoulder that they don't have, to be that person who would give them a hug, just a hug or an embrace, to make them feel better. Even if I cannot offer them any help of maybe finance, something, but to be there, something that I've noticed I would be moving with somebody, but they would easily trust me to share.
Yeah.
Their personality, their struggle, being a soft spot,
sure,
of somebody. So yeah, it gives me passion to keep on.
Yeah.
And seeing a face change from sad to a smile, a genuine smile. Mm. I always tell people they smile because they want the environment around them not to know who they are. But it has to be a smile from your heart. Because if you smile before people and you cry when you're alone, then that smile doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would want them to wear a genuine smile.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned before that you trained people in the community.
Mm-hmm. We trained social workers, people who work directly with the children.
Mm-hmm.
We train pastors because we realize that pastors are always giving,
mm-hmm,
but they are always not receiving. They are not being heard. They expect them to be super strong. So this is a place where you can come and be heard.
Yeah.
And you will not be judged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'd have like once in a while, just a round table coffee to talk, to just let them speak, because we know there is healing in speaking.
Sure.
And them being pastors out there or being people who are leading ministries, they would want to be strong for people.
Mm-hmm.
But when there is no one who is listening to them, so that's why we decided as an organization, we can listen to these people because they also have flesh. They have pain, but people expect good things and, you know, them to be super strong. So we can be that body away from church. Come and be human decide and share your mm-hmm problems. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's wonderful that you reach out to those you know are in high stress positions who don't necessarily receive care and don't practice self-care, generally speaking. Did you also have any part of your ministry that was about training local leaders to know what to look for in terms of trauma, mm-hmm, because they know people trust them and come to them? Is there anything that you did like that, or is there any movement in Kenya or Uganda like that?
Mm, we didn't focus on that back in Uganda, though here at Neema Girls, we try to teach our own girls to look out for those signs, because we want them to be one another's keeper.
Mm.
Like when they see the other one attempt to do this, or when they see certain signs, isolation, like those bruises, you know, like threats, they would come and probably share so that we can rescue. Or when they are back home, they are able to help, because we are training them to heal, but also be able to pass on to that healing to the friend or the neighbor by being refuge. So we didn't do that back in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are trying to teach our girls and also the guardians to look out for that in their children, other communities, but also through the community. We do outreaches in schools. From NEMA Project, we do also outreaches in schools where we also teach them to look out for these signs. And we want to expand this by maybe dealing with the community leaders, mm-hmm. where we shall reach out to the community, to the guardians, to empower them so that the abuse, the youth, the children abuse is minimized because they have been sensitized.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so that, as you're saying, is a hope for the future.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful. Mm. I mean, all of it's wonderful. Mm. But I think it's really important, too, that the girls have tools to carry them further, right? They're getting treatment. They're getting help and healing.
Yeah.
And now they can turn around and apply that in other areas of their life, hopefully.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe to share some of the alumni that have finished from NEMA Girls, when they go outside in the community, I always follow them up on phone to see how they are doing at home, to see if they have been able to have resilience, continue to teach them to be resilient. So some of them actually tell us what we taught them at NEMA. They are really like counselors back in their community. Mm. They have resolved good conflict resolutions. They can confront people and tell them you're doing something wrong. That is having self-confidence. So we've seen what we've taught at NEMA impact the other community indirectly through our girls. So others were like, now I am the counselor of our block. When people have their problems, it's me who helps them to solve. And then some of the girls call me back in Uganda. For example, they have had friends who want to commit suicide. And they're like, there is somebody we know who can talk to you. So they just tell me, Auntie Jackie, just put hope in this person. So by the time somebody who is attempting suicide entrusts you to listen to you, then also like a step that they are able to help out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I am proud of our girls helping out there, mm-hmm. because we say it starts with me.
Mm, yeah.
And then I give it out to others. So they learn that at heart, they are able to leave it outside NEMA. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. Mm. I love that so much. Okay. So this is a question that I ask everybody, because so much of, I think, what the human experience is about is compassion and how our lives and what we go through in our lives affects how we see others and how we treat others. Mm. So what does it mean to you to live with compassion?
Mm. It is just to love people for who they are. Just accepting everyone the way they come and take them in. Listening to somebody without judging them. I want to be able to listen, or to be that person who would listen to somebody without judging them and loving them for who they are.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this with me. I really just loved talking to you and hearing more about you and your story. Mm. It's been kind of a whirlwind. So this is really the most we've been able to talk, and I just really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Being willing to sit down and open up.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening to The Human Experience. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe, share it with others, and leave a rating and review on your favorite platform. Everyone has a story, and I'd love to hear yours, so be sure to check out the show notes for more information about how to stay in touch. Do good and take care.